You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Memorial Day, everybody. My goodness, Tim, we don't stop at Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I guess it's not Memorial Day in Canada and throughout the world where people listen, Tim. We got listeners. We're just a multinational company here at Dropping the Gloves. But yes, for those of you in the United States, happy Memorial Day. Thanks for joining us to Dropping the Gloves with Tim Wurzburger and John Scott. It's a big one, Tim. We finally did it. I didn't think we were going to get here, but we did. We got a game seven in the second round. Now, this second round, like we've talked about over and over again, is it fair to say that it's been a dud so far? All these exciting matchups that we thought were going to come to fruition, all the hatred, all the animosity, all of just the geographical locations. We got Florida, Tampa Bay, we got Calgary, Edmonton. These are going to be epic battles. It's going to be unbelievable. Just dropping deuces all over my dreams were the NHL, where Tampa Bay just drops Florida in four. Edmonton drops Calgary in five. Wasn't even interesting hockey. It was a complete shellacking by both of those teams. Not fun at all. Colorado, yeah, maybe got a little bit more of a test from St. Louis. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? At least that one went to six. But we finally got one, baby. We got one. The Carolina Hurricanes, true to form, cannot win on the road. And the Rangers are super good at home. I think they're 5-1, 6-1 at home, the Rangers, whereas the Hurricanes are now 0-4. They've lost six straight games on the road during these playoffs. So we're moving back to Carolina, Tim. You're going to the game tonight. You're in Carolina. You're going to be there. Tell us all about it.
Oh, I wish. Yeah. No surprise, game six. I think we both picked the Rangers to win that one. The Rangers looked dominant throughout. They won 5-2. Shesterkin was tested, but he made 37 saves. He stepped up like they needed him to. A good depth game for them. The Hedl had a couple goals. I think Mott scored, and so they looked they looked really good. And no surprise, Carolina can't win at home or can't lose at home, can't win on the road. And so we're back where we thought we were going to go with game seven. And I think I don't know. Let's get into it. What do you think tonight's going to look like?
Well, let me just go back to game six, because a name we've forgotten about, a name we hadn't mentioned for the Rangers, but it was a guy who was a big pickup in the offseason. Maybe people talked about overpaying him, Barclay Goodrow. Was this too much? They brought this guy in for specifically this situation. He is a playoff-proven performer. He played well when he was with the Sharks in the playoffs, and he goes to Tampa Bay, and he was arguably – him and Yanni Gord and Blake Coleman, the reason they won two Stanley Cups. They were lights out, those two guys. So they bring him in. He gets hurt first game versus Pittsburgh. He comes back last game. He played great. They're already strong penalty kill, continue to be strong. He was in on the forecheck. He was a heavy body, which the Rangers need. He was banging forwards. He played really well. Well enough to get third star of the game, even though we didn't get any points. So that says a lot to me when this guy picks up a star and he doesn't hit the score sheet. So he made an impact in some way. He was a good player. He's going to be a difference maker in game seven. Mark my word. Would not surprise me if Barclay Goodrow gets on the score sheet with a goal or an assist and makes an impact play. Just because a lot of these guys, this is a nerve-wracking time to be in Carolina or New York Rangers. So let's get into game seven. We're going back to Carolina. Antti Raanta gets pulled in game six. They bring in the third stringer, this Russian guy from the KHL. They're not going to start him, obviously. Antti Raanta gets the pipes. He looked shaky in game six, Tim. Did not look strong, did not look confident. The Rangers took advantage. I will kind of – I don't want to argue with you a little bit. I don't think the Rangers looked that dominant. I think Carolina looked fine. I think they pressured the Rangers. I think Shesterkin played great. He played lights out. He was a very strong goaltender, 37 saves. That's not nothing. And he picks up two assists to boot. The guy is just, he does it all for the New York Rangers. Antti Raanta is the key for this game seven for me. Which goaltender are we going to see? We cannot have the same performance as we had in game six. How was his mentality? How was he feeling going into game seven? He had a game seven in the first round. So maybe he's a little bit more comfortable with the situation. I don't know. They're lights out at home. We all know this. They're 7-0, potentially going to be 8-0. Where do you think this game plays out? What are the keys to win for each team? What needs to happen for each team to get this W? Because it's been a close series up until this point.
I do think we'll see a bounce back game from Ranta. As bad as he's been on the road and as bad as he looked in game six, he's been elite at home, letting up less than 2 goals a game, 9.31 save percentage. He just doesn't lose at home. He seems to elevate his game like the rest of that team. So I think I'm more looking at the other end of the ice. Shesterkin is the guy who's supposed to be the better goalie. He probably has been for most of the series, definitely was in game six. How is he going to respond to a game seven? How is he going to respond to elevate the moment? Can he steal a game on the road against a team that hasn't lost at home? That's kind of – I'm looking more at him because he's the one that's supposed to be the better goalie. And Ranta, I think, will give you a chance to win. He maybe lets in two or three. I think Shesterkin's going to be the one that probably is facing more pressure tonight in my mind.
Yeah, they're both under a lot of pressure because these teams are evenly matched. I think the Hurricanes, I hate to admit it, have a little bit more depth. I like their forwards. They've been playing pretty well this whole series. But the Rangers, for whatever reason, this postseason, they're 4-0 when facing an elimination game. They play their best hockey when their backs are up against the wall. They versus Pittsburgh, they were down 3-1. And yes, I know Casey DeSmith got hurt. Crosby was out. They were facing injuries, the Penguins. The Rangers still had to win those games, and they played great. They came out, they executed, and they did it in game six. They won that game 5-2 going away. For whatever reason, I like the Rangers' makeup when their backs are against the wall. Now here we are again, going into Carolina. No one expects them to win based on Carolina's track record at home, based on the Rangers' track record in Carolina. They are terrible. You mentioned it here on the agenda. They only had 17 shots on goal in game five in Carolina. That's horrendous. That's awful. You have to really try to not throw pucks on net, to not at least get 20, 25 shots in a game. So they stink in Carolina. But for whatever reason, in a game seven, I can't bet against a goaltender who is a Vezina Trophy candidate, who was a Hart candidate throughout the whole season. He was setting records for goaltenders that we hadn't seen before. He was doing things that we had never heard of for years and years and years. I can't bet against that guy. So I'm going to take the Rangers. As you know, far-fetched as that sounds, it's going against the trends. They're 7-0, the Rangers. The Rangers equally good at home. I think they're 6-1. They're 1-5 on the road. So the Rangers stink on the road in this playoffs as well. So it's not like the Rangers are, you know, they're a good team at great team at home, but they're an okay team on the road. Great at home, the Rangers. Stink so bad on the road. And the same thing with the Carolina Hurricanes. I don't know what's happening this playoff series, because these guys, the records during the regular season weren't atrocious on the road. The Hurricanes did have a really good record at home, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't atrocious on the road. So I just think at the end of the day, Shesterkin's going to be the difference. I think Ranta will pick up his game a little bit. I think he's found his mojo. He's back to the goaltender that we knew and loved during the regular season. He's making saves that he has no business making. And I think the Carolina Hurricanes are the better team in game seven. They have more chances. They get more zone time. But the Rangers at the end of the day win this game because of Shesterkin. What do you think? What do you think, Tim?
Well, I don't know. Game sevens are typically about who makes fewer mistakes, right? Because it's always that one play that costs you the season. It's the defenseman turning it over. It's a goalie letting in a bouncing puck or something. It's a, you know, a DDD pass that exits the zone, ruins all the momentum, and the play's going the other way. And so there's always these little things you can look at. And I think that, to me, the Hurricanes are so good at limiting the mistakes that they're making both ends of the ice. And I like the Hurricane for that reason. I think we've seen the Rangers play really well. There's always – look what we talked about with Game 5, with that play from Adam Fox on the Svechnikov breakaway and a play from Trouba, that turnover that led to the 2-on-1 and the shorthanded goal. Those are the kind of things that will cost you the series. If we see that from the Rangers, like we've seen in other examples, that's what I'm looking at. So I like the Hurricanes, and I'm not really looking at their top players tonight, like the Teravainen, the Ahos, the Svechnikovs. I think it's going to be the Jordan Stahls of the world that are making an impact. And I've seen him, you know, do it time and time again. The Slavins, probably, maybe a Trocheck. Those are the guys I'm looking at to have a big game and prove the Rangers that they're not ready yet.
Trocheck's a top guy, Tim. He's a top guy. You can't throw him in there at the end. We're going to go the Stalls, this and that. Oh, then maybe an Aho. You can't throw in the top guy at the end.
He's
a top guy on this team. I'm going to disagree. I think this will be a first and second line decided game. I think whatever of those two lines, whatever team gets a power play goal will win this game. This has been a big issue throughout the series. Carolina gets a shorthanded goal, a power play goal in game five. They win the game. New York Rangers win the power play battle last game. They win the game. If a team gets a power play goal, I think that team wins the game. I think it's going to be a first and second line dominated game. I really, truly believe it's either going to be Svechnikov or Aho or Teravainen, or it's going to be Panarin or Zibanejad or Kreider or these guys. Whatever line finds it and runs with it this game, I think that line and that team will win this series. It's going to be fun. You know who's loving this, Tim? You know who's loving it? John Cooper and the Tampa Bay Lightning. I was just thinking about it. John Cooper and the Tampa Bay Lightning have been off for 4 or 5 days now. These guys have been beating each other in the face. This is a game seven again for both of these teams. So this is going to be 14 games for whoever goes on to play on Wednesday. They're going to get one day off, and then they're going to be back at it versus Tampa Bay Lightning. I am so incredibly nervous for whoever wins this next game tonight, because they're just going to walk in and play the Tampa Bay Lightning. And they're just going to be – Tampa Bay's just going to be dropping down the ice, driving it down their throats, and you're not going to know what hit you. It's going to be – Tampa Bay might as well just punch your ticket to the Stanley Cup Finals right now based on what's happened. These guys are playing every other night. In the regular season, that's hard to do, playing every other night, let alone in the playoffs where you're diving, you're battling, you're doing everything you can for every single play for 2 weeks now. And this is game 14, and you have to turn around and play game 15 on Wednesday versus the defending two-time Stanley Cup champions who have been licking their wounds and just getting pumped up and scouting and game planning for both of you. And they're just going to be waiting at the airport tonight. Where are we going? Are we going to New York? Or are we going to Carolina? You're going to jump on the plane. They're going to get there early. They're going to get a couple nights sleep, and they're going to pound you into the dirt. Whatever team that you play. That's my whole big scheme here. This is just such a win for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Is it not? Like, how else could this scenario work out any better? You sweep the President's Trophy winners without even breaking a sweat. And then you get the other two teams that you're supposed to play just beating each other into the dirt for seven games. You're saying, this is great. This is great. Braden Points, he's feeling frisky. He's going to be back. All these guys, oh, they played a lot of hockey. They've had a week off. They're so ready to go, Tim. And when I'm ready to go, I use DoorDash. I'm fired up, Tim. And you should, too, on Memorial Day. Get some hot dogs. Get some ketchup. Order DoorDash. It's terrific. Go to Coney Island. I don't know where you're at, but use DoorDash. And when you do, use our promo code GlovesDDUS if you're in the US of A. GlovesDD if you're in Canada. Get 25% off free delivery. Not a bad deal. Pretty much the best deal you'll find out there. Only here on Dropping the Gloves. Use DoorDash. We use them. Tim uses them. I use them. Everybody uses them. And you should, too. DoorDash.com on your app, on your phone. Promo codes. So I just listed them. Check it out. DoorDash. All right, Tim. Moving on to another series, the Western Conference Finals. These two teams haven't been here in a long time. A long time. For the amount of expectations that these two teams have had throughout the years, every single year we think Colorado is going to win the Stanley Cup. Every single year we say Connor McDavid, this is it. They finally got a decent supporting cast around him. He's going to make it. This is their year. Let down after let down after let down after let down until now. We're here. Colorado, Edmonton, Western Conference Finals. Puck drops tomorrow night. Gary Bettman is just squirming in his little tight onesies because he's so excited about this matchup. He's just like a little kid, so excited. Two superstars going at it, and I don't blame him. First time in a long time. We got the top three point scorers going at it. I think the last time this happened, it was the Bruins in the early 80s. It was Esposito, Busek, and Orr were the top 3 point scorers going at it in a playoff series. And now we got McKinnon, Dreisaitl, and McDavid. So it's going to be incredible. These guys, the last 5 years, they're top three in points. Through this playoff series, they're 1-2 in goals per game. These two teams, both 4-plus goals per game. They're flying up and down the ice. It's going to be an epic series, Tim. I can't believe we're here with Edmonton. I thought they were going to flame out even in the first round. Break it down for us, Tim. This is an incredible matchup. I'm excited to watch this. It's going to be goals. It's going to be goals bonanza. They're going to be giving them away like you're going into a carnival and they're giving away whatever they give away at a carnival. Break it down for me, because I'm too excited to talk. I'm too excited.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about how good that first round matchup was between Tampa and Toronto. I think this one could be right up there. Like, this is what we've all been waiting for. Gary's not the only one who's been on the edge of his seat anticipating this. So these two high-powered offenses, two very similar teams in a lot of ways, and even though they're built differently, they're producing very similarly in the playoffs. They're 1-2 in goals for the playoffs, like you said. Avalanche have an absolutely lethal power play, 34.5% so far in the playoffs, which is just nuts. Best in the league. The Oilers are pretty good too, 28.2. They can put some fifth or sixth across the league. So both teams lethal in the power play. They're pretty dangerous, and certainly discipline and minimizing the penalties will be important for both teams. The Avalanche are averaging just about 40 shots on goal per game, 39.8. Call that 40. And the Oilers are letting up about 37.5. So they're going to get – the Avs are going to get 35 to 40 shots on that every single game. So Smith is going to be tested. He's going to be tested often, not just with the quantity either, the quality of these shots. When you got the Landeskog and McKinnon, Makar from the point, these are going to be not easy saves to make. And I think Smith will – I think we could see him maybe crap the bed at least once in the series where he lets up four goals in the first period or something. And then we talk about points. The McDavid and Drysdale continue to be just go hand in hand. They each have 26 points entering the first two rounds, with Drysdale having 17 in the second round alone. There's a big drop off. You mentioned McKinnon being kind of right there. He's got 13 points, and by my math, that's half as much. And so they haven't played as many games, but it's only two less games, two fewer. McKinnon and Makar tie for the Avalanche with 13 points each. This is a team that's less reliant on its top line than the Oilers are, which is, I think, is going to be a big difference for them. But so far, it's a story of elite players going at it, a story of elite, you know, matchups, and whoever's going to have a better performance is going to come out on top.
You got the Edmonton Oilers with their nuclear option. You got 29, you got 97, you got 91. Then you go to the Avalanche. And now the beautiful thing with the Avalanche is they broke up that top line. We all knew they had Landeskog, they had McKinnon, they had Rantanen. They broke up that line, and it hasn't affected their production. Now we got Lykkanen slots in the first line. You got Rantanen moving down to the second line. You got Kadri, you got Burakovsky, you got McKinnon, you got all these great players. The question is, what are the matchups going to be? Because Colorado gets last change. Who do you match up, Tim, versus that first line? Calgary didn't really try much. They just rolled their lines. They tried to go Johnny Gaudreau versus them. They tried Lindholm. They tried these guys. Nothing worked. We saw what happened in L.A. Deneau did a decent job versus McDavid, but you got to contain him. You're not going to shut him down. You have to contain him. I think Deneau did the best job, and we saw that. Like, Deneau's a premier centerman. Do the Colorado Avalanche even bother trying to match up with that first line? Or do they play to their strengths and say, okay, we're just going to give him what he gets, and we're just going to try to outscore you. We're going to try to get our top two lines matched up versus your bottom three. What do you think is the game plan versus that line? Because no one has had an answer for it yet. They're unstoppable. They're scoring at will. Every time they're on the ice, they're getting grade A chance after grade A chance after grade A chance. Do you see a situation where Colorado is able to slow those guys down? What do you do if you're the Avalanche coach, Tim? I'm beating around the question here.
I think you go with the second option you mentioned is let McDavid get what he gets and do your best, but focus more of your game plan on doing the same and relying on your top guys, getting those matchups you need and putting the puck in the back of the net. They have just as strong an offensive, if not better, from top to bottom than the Oilers. So I think, you know, you spend too much of your time worrying about what stopping the other guys from what they're doing. And I think that's a mistake. They should be flipping the narrative around the other way, make the Oilers worry about their top line. And I think they have the firepower to do it and the depth to do it. And the further you go down the lineup, that third line, especially, you start to expose the matchups against the Oilers, who I don't think are as deep as the Avalanche are.
Yeah, I know when I was with the Hawks and when I was with the Sharks, I played on some really, like, even the Rangers. So I've had some talent on my teams, and it's different to hear the different coaches' perspectives. The Rangers were all about matchups. They wanted to get Gabby and Richie and all these guys away from the top line. And it got to a point where it almost was a detriment to the team, where you were a slave to what the other coach was doing, and you were always reacting. You weren't the aggressive coach. You were always like, okay, well, what's that? It was Pete DeBoer, and he was with the Devils. It's like, who's he going to put out? Is he going to put Zajac out? Okay, we can't have Gabby out there. We got to wait till we get a better matchup. I didn't like that because you're always reacting. You want to be proactive. So if I'm the Avalanche, I'm going for it. I'm matching McKinnon up with McDavid. And more often than not, yes, McKinnon will be in the defensive zone, but there'll be a big chunk of that where McDavid's on his heels. He's playing defense. He's expending energy in the defensive zone because the Avalanche do have that ability to hem you in. And they do have that ability to have shift after shift after shift in the offensive zone. And if you can do that once or twice a period, that's hard on a centerman. McDavid's going side to side. He's expending energy. And maybe he won't want to be busting down the ice knowing that maybe I'm going to have to be the first guy back on the back check. So that would be my game plan. If I'm the Colorado head coach, I'm like, let's go, let's match up strength versus strength. Let's do this. And the one thing that I think the Avalanche have that Calgary did not have, that Nashville did not have, that not a lot of teams have is Cale Makar. He is so incredibly good. He's a fourth forward out there, and he's better than most forwards. He reads the play so good. He jumps up in the rush. He's able to just maneuver through things and see things that other people don't do. And that is such a difference when you're a forward and you're on offense and you're in the offensive zone and you got a defenseman that's able to just take a risk, make a play, go get a puck that maybe it's a 50-50 puck that Cale Makar can read. That Duncan Keith did that great when he was with the Blackhawks, when he was in his prime. Maybe he's not there anymore. He was never out of the play. Most defensemen, if it's a 50-50 puck, they'll back up. They'll say, I'm out of here. I don't want to make a mistake. Dunks will dive in, try to keep the play alive. Cale Makar will do that. These types of defensemen make it really, I don't want to say easy for a forward in the offensive zone. They are such an asset. Cale Makar does it. Duncan used to do it. I don't think the Oilers have seen a defenseman like that. Drew Doughty is good at it. He wasn't there versus the LA when they played LA. So that will be a difference in this series. I think when you're talking about X factors to move ahead, the keys to this series for me, if I'm Colorado, I think the goaltenders are a wash. I think Smith has been playing really good. I don't know what's going on with Darcy Kuemper. He seems to be lost out there at times. He has decent periods, and then he'll just be brain dead for a while. I'm like, Darcy, what are you doing? So if he can focus in and lock in and really have a solid performance, I think he's the better goaltender. But Mike Smith's played lights out. I think when you look on the back end, you have to give the advantage to Colorado, right?
Yeah, you do. But the big question is, who do you match up against that McDavid line? Because like you said last week, you Makar is your best defenseman all around, but he's not really the guy. You want him to get the second and third line so we can do his thing offensively. And if he's worried about shutting down McDavid, Makar's not playing his best game. So how do you address that matchup?
And this is where the Samuel Girard injury comes into play, because do I want Eric Johnson or Jack Johnson lined up versus Drysdale, David, and Kane? Absolutely not. They'll blow around them like they're standing still. I want Taves and Makar versus McDavid, Drysdale, and Kane. They're the only two that can keep up with them. They're the only two that can, again, use their offense to get going and get them on their heels. I think Jack Johnson, Eric Johnson, if they get the puck, they're going high and hard. They're not trying to make a good first pass. They just want to get out of the zone. The Oilers are regroup and come right back in on them. I want my top guys versus their top guys. That's if I'm Colorado, that's what I want. And if I'm Edmonton, I'm like, bring it. Do I think Makar can hang with McDavid? No. Do I think Devin Taves can? Potentially. But I want that matchup because if I'm Jay Woodcroft, I'm like, yeah, nobody has shut these guys down all playoffs. And you want to match up McKinnon and your top two defensemen versus me? Great. They're not going to do anything versus me on the offensive zone. This is going to be fantastic for me. So it's going to come down to who's the better player. Which line is better? Which one wins this battle? It's going to be incredible to watch because they're just so incredibly good. It's going to be fun to watch this. Can anybody stop Connor McDavid? That's the question.
Well, it's funny because I was thinking about this over the weekend and I was actually going a totally different direction from what you just said. I'm splitting up Taze and Makar. And I'm to me, Taze is the guy that's got to be on McDavid. It's like, I'm going to put him with Manson, but Taze is the guy. Like when McDavid's on the ice, Devin Taze, you're out there. That's your role in this series. Manson plays it. He's a really good two-way defense, but he can play really tall defensively. And then Makar, you can match him against, you know, with either one of the Johnsons or, you know, Bowen Byram or whatever. But I think, yeah, Taze is that guy that needs to be in that role, and Manson can play it well. And I think mixing that up and breaking that pair up is the best thing that the Avs can do to get a favor in this matchup.
I don't want to disagree with you, but I will again. these two players are so comfortable with each other. I think back to, and I keep going back to the Chicago well, but Seabrook and Keith, when they were in their prime, everybody always said, well, why don't you split them up? Why not split them up? We're going up against these high octane offenses. They're obviously your top two guys. It's like, split them up, go one Chalmerson and Keith and Seabrook and somebody else. It's like, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. You see how good McDavid and Draisaitl are together, and they're good apart, but they're so incredibly good together. They bring out the best in each other. And I think Taves and Makar do that. And I think you just keep those guys together. They're going to get 30 minutes a game. Like, you're going to be playing these guys all the time. So why not just have them together? They're comfortable with each other. They can shut down anybody potentially. But on the other side of that, they can score 3, 4, 5 goals any given night when they're with that first line. Like, they're that deadly together. So I don't know. I don't think you split them up just yet. If it doesn't work out and McDavid's exposing other pairings, then maybe you split them up. But I think game one, you just don't mess with what you've been doing. Manson's been doing okay with Jack Johnson, Eric Johnson, Bowen. They make me nervous. The Johnson brothers, they're not brothers, but they make me nervous. So we'll see how it works out. But I think initially, if I'm Colorado, I'm like, let's go. Let's go, baby. If McDavid, which McDavid will start game one, he will start game one. I'm looking right across Nathan MacKinnon. That's my starting line. And it's going to be incredible. It's the first time since what, 2018, we got two number one picks going at it in the conference finals. I think it was Stamkos and Ovechkin. It's going to be fun. It's going to be incredible. Just high skill, high pace, lots of goals. I expect multiple goaltenders being pulled in this series. I expect multiple just blowouts of coaches between periods. Like, what are we doing here? We just gave up 5 goals that period. I don't know how there can't be at least 7, 8 goals a game this series. I don't know how it's possible. These are just high octane offices. The defenses aren't that great. Like I've mentioned, Edmonton is always lacking. And then Colorado, it's not their strength. So it's going to be an incredible off. What are the X factors for you, team? What has to happen for each team to win this series?
We talked a little bit about it already. Goaltending is something I'm paying particularly close attention to. Mike Smith, potentially these are the weakest parts of the lineup. The two chinks in the armor are Smith and Kemper. And they both played really well so far in the series. But if these teams have a weakness, I think those are the two I'd be looking at. But Smith, again, 8-3, 927, 270, two shutouts so far. Darcy Kemper has won the games he's needed to win. He's 6-2, pretty good stats. And he missed 2 games with an injury. So I think, I think one of these, probably like you said, both of these goaltenders will get exposed at different points in the series. I think they'll both be pulled at some point. Smith is probably the guy that I'm looking a little bit closer at just because I think Kemper's a little bit of a better goalie, but Smith has played better so far in the series, in this playoff run. The next thing I'm looking at is the depth scoring. Like, we know what MacKinnon's going to do. We know what Landeskog's going to do. McDavid, Draisaitl, Kane. We know what these guys are going to do. Who, as you go down the lineup, who's going to be the one that steps up and scores that late goal? I mean, Darren Helm scored the series clinching goal for Pete's sake. So who are they going to be those guys in this series? On the Avalanche, you got Nichushkin, I'm looking at. You got Burakovsky, you got Compher. On the flip side, Nuge and Hyman, they're just below that tier of like the top of the top guys that that Edmonton has. And then Puljujarvi, Yamamoto, guys like that. Well, they step up and score the big goals, and whoever does is going to have the upper hand for sure.
Yeah, Yamamoto has been a little bit of a disappointment so far this playoff series. He started the season so strong. He was meshing with McDavid. I thought it was going to be a great setup for them, and it just didn't seem to progress. He didn't advance his game. So we'll see. If he steps it up, Edmonton's got a good chance. Same with the News. The News has been playing well. My keys to the game is the back end. We've talked about the deficiencies. Which defenseman, which D-core is going to be able to jump up in the rush and make an offensive contribution? I don't think we're going to see any shutouts, Tim. I don't think we're going to see any 2-1 battles. Unless this goes to 7, then we'll see a 2-1 game. I think this is going to be just flamethrowers, goals going in left and right. We're going to see 5-4, 6-3, like those types of scores. And the team, to me, that's going to win will be the team that can get their defense involved. Makar only had 3 assists last series. He wasn't the same player that, he was during the regular season where he was getting a point a game. And he was making a difference, don't get me wrong, but can he increase his point production? Can he jump up in the play? Can he improve their already lethal power play? And who is that guy for Edmonton? We saw Bouchard play pretty well last series versus Calgary. Duncan Keith, at times played pretty well. Darnell Nurse picked up a couple goals. Can those guys keep up with the Colorado offense? Oh, from the back end, the McCarr, the Devin Toews. Because Devin Toews, don't get me wrong, everybody thinks of him as his defensive specialist. The guy's got some points. He can put up some points. He's not like a McCarr type, but he knows how to make a pass and shoot a puck. So which group is going to get more points? Which group is going to jump up in the rush? Which group is going to make an impact on the score sheet on the offensive side? Whatever decor gets more points in this series, they will win the series. That's my opinion. And I think right now you gotta give the edge to Colorado at this point, just because they got McCarr. He's a generational talent. He really is. So can he pick it up? This is their first time in the third round, Tim. Both of these teams. Who is gonna overcome that adversity, take it to the championship round, baby? I don't know. It's can you bet against Connor McDavid with what he's doing? And Leon Draisaitl. If I'm Draisaitl, I'm like, hello. I got the same amount of points as this guy. Can I get some love over here? Everybody's talking about McDavid. 29's just sitting in the corner looking at all the reporters like, fellas, I'm right here. I got just as many points. Come on now. But it's McDavid's show. Everybody knows it.
Has Duncan Keith's play in the playoffs surprised you in a positive way? Because he didn't look great during parts of the regular season. He got exposed at the beginning of the King series, and then he got better as that series progressed. Played really well last one with against Calgary. Is he surprised you this time?
Yeah, it honestly has. He's played fairly well. He's not making any massive mistakes. He's not getting beat wide. He is making good, smart offensive plays. Yeah, he's playing really well. He's getting the most minutes now. He's out-minuting Darnell Nurse. He's their top guy right now. So it's Ken Holland looking pretty smart. No, I'm kidding. He's not. But he is playing really well. He is playing good. So let's get down to brass tacks, Tim. I will say this on a side note. I put up a hummingbird feeder in my house 2 days ago. Wasn't sure I was going to get any action. The hummingbirds love it. I'm just so happy. I'm so incredible. Little things like that. I'm like, there's no way the hummingbirds are even going to get to it. And there, I got it right out in front of the window. Hummingbird just came up. It's the little things, Tim. And it just hovers. And I boiled up some sugar water. It's fantastic. Get yourself a hummingbird feeder. It's great. It's great.
The girls love it. They love watching the birds.
No, I love it. They could care less. It's like, because they're not patient. Patience is a virtue. And they have not gained that virtue yet. I could sit here all day and just watch that hummingbird feeder and just collect my thoughts. The hummingbird comes by. I'm like, oh, that's so great. And then away it goes, flies away. What are you doing, hummingbird? Where are you going? That's what I want to know. All right. let's get these picks, because we got a game 7 tonight and we got a game 1 tomorrow, Western Conference Finals. Tim, give it to me. You're in Carolina. Who do you got? The Hurricanes versus the Rangers.
Give me Carolina tonight. I do like it. I like it. I know you don't, but I'm picking the Hurricanes to win tonight.
You know, I don't know how you cannot pick the Hurricanes. Why would you pick against that team? I just don't know. Which team do you think, in your heart of hearts, Tim, gives the Tampa Bay Lightning more fits?
Carolina, for sure. Carolina does. Yeah, the way that they can just suffocate your offense for games at a time, the neutral zone, their own zone, it's really hard to get offensive momentum going. And I think I feel like the Rangers play a similar game to Tampa. They're just not as good. Whereas Carolina is playing a totally different style, and I think they match up pretty well.
I still stand by my statement. The best series that we'll see in this playoff series is Tampa Bay Toronto. It's incredible. Toronto could go down as the second best team in the league, and you got beat out in the first round. Another question I wanted to pose before I get to my picks. Just say Edmonton loses out to Colorado and McDavid picks up an insane amount of points in this round. Just say he gets 15 points in 6 games. Does he win the Conn Smythe and not even play a game in the Stanley Cup Finals?
No, I thought about that too. I think it's very rare that the team who loses in the Stanley Cup gets the Conn Smythe, right? Like it's happened twice. It's never happened that a team that doesn't even make it gets the Conn Smythe. So
there's never been a McDavid.
Yeah, but I don't. Yes, there's been a Gretzky who's been put up more points than McDavid has. And so
when they went to the finals, though.
Yeah, but think about it. Would have to be like so strikingly, like in your face for them to even pick a guy who wasn't, who's on the losing team of the Stanley Cup. It would have to be so blatantly obvious that you couldn't possibly pick anyone else. And to take it a step further, to pick someone who didn't even make it to the finals is no, I don't think it happens.
What happens if it's Tampa Bay, Colorado, they award the Stanley Cup, you look at the leaderboard for points, McDavid has 15 more points than the next highest guy, and it's Kucherov. McDavid has 42, Kucherov has 25 or 22, and he's played five more games. Well, I'm just saying, that would be incredible. Oh, I don't know. I just crossed my mind. All right, my picks. I'm going the Rangers. I kind of buried the lead. I think Shesterkin's going to play great. I think he's going to will them to a victory. Barclay Gaudreau's back. I like them going to the finals. And then for game one, Edmonton, Colorado. Yeah. Edmonton's fresher. They're ready to go. They're flying high. They just walked right through a very good Calgary Flames team. They coached well. My buddy, Jeremy Clark in Minnesota. We know Woody, Jay Woodcroft. We know his brother. We piled around with him a lot back in the day. He sent me a text. He's like, "What are you doing, dogging my boy?" I'm like, "I'm sorry." Jay Woodcroft is a great coach. He really is. And I said last show he outcoached Daryl Sutter. So I did give him some props. But yeah, sorry, Jeremy Clark. If you're in Minnesota, go to Minnesota Talk Team. Top team. Great, great gym. I'm going to go with Colorado. I think at home, first game, they're going to be excited. They've never been there before. They're going to put their best foot forward. I do think Edmonton splits these games in Colorado. So maybe Edmonton wins one, Colorado wins two. Maybe I'm hedging my bet a little bit, but I'm going to take Colorado game one. What do you got, Tim?
I'm going to go with the Oilers, and I'm not just doing that. I'm just done. I'm done betting against them. I keep doubting and they keep proving me wrong. And I think that they're a real team. They're not just McDavid and Draisaitl and some sparkly good goaltending here and there. They're a legit team that they can play with anyone. They think they've proven that against Calgary. So I'm going to pick Edmonton for game one.
I think they are a one-line team, but I'll just leave it there. But it is enough to this point to be a one-line team. They played a LA team that maybe shouldn't have been in the playoffs, and they played a Calgary team that just played dumpy. And Edmonton beat them. Edmonton was a good team. But I do think they're a one-line team so far. I'm taking Colorado. And I want everybody to have a good Memorial Day. Go out there and make a difference. Tim, what do you got planned for today?
Nothing. Went for a big hike yesterday. So today is a little bit of a just reset and get ready for the week.
Yeah, just chugging hot dogs. How many hot dogs are you going to eat today? Come on.
No hot dogs? What about you? You guys doing something? Cookout?
8 to 12 hot dogs. That's my goal for today. I'm getting fat, and not the PHAT kind. I'm going to really buckle down after the playoffs. I'm going to start working out. I have to. I notice I'm starting to get a little jiggle, a little jelly in my belly. But no, nothing planned. Probably just do yard work, lame old stuff. But eat a lot of hot dogs, Tim. That's my plan. And drink a few beers. And maybe light up some fireworks. But we'll see. All right, everybody. Go out, have some fun. Stay safe out there. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.